Welcome to the Killer's Paw Show!
Welcome back to the Coach Paul Show, and thank you to some of you. You know who you are for even clicking on this episode title. It's a little controversial, but I'll get into all that later. First of all, just want to say thank you, of course, for taking the time, just even 20 minutes, to become more educated, empowered, and hopefully entertained. We've had some great guests the past couple of weeks. Lucy with her endless joy. And I forgot to mention, it occurred to me today, if you ever want to join her running club, the Joneses, they meet at 7 a.m. at the corner of Jones Bridge and State Bridge. There's a little Goodwill Aldi parking lot. They meet there. There's a whole gaggle of them. You cannot miss them. She is welcoming to any and all runners, any ability. So if that's something you're looking to get in, maybe be a more social runner, get out with a group. It's always, you know, 10 to 20 of them. But it's 7 a.m. Saturday mornings. Look them up on Strava, Keeping Up with the Joneses. It's a fantastic time, and you'll get to experience Lucy's joy in person. And Dr. Jay Spector, so much wisdom. I've heard a lot of great feedback. A lot of people were like, oh, I wasn't even aware of this. But he brought the science. As I mentioned, he elevated the show in my mind. So, moving on into In Defense of Books. And just a little bit of why I would even talk about reading. I've been a literature teacher for the past 3.5 years, some at Johns Creek High School, some at Chattahoochee High School. I taught other classes as well, but I'd say primarily literature to 10th and 12th graders. So I have been behind, I don't want to say enemy lines, but I've been on the front lines of public education, and I have seen firsthand the reaction from teenagers when you hand them Shakespeare or any other book for that matter. And just to realize and experience the pushback that you get from handing any book, it could be something that they're even interested in learning about. And the pushback, and I don't read, I've never read a book, I've made it through XX grade, and I've still never read a book. Like, they're proud, they're wearing this badge of honor that they have never read a book. And it's a little sad to me, but I'm not that surprised when the majority of free time can be TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, you name it, hanging out with friends, going to wherever. Reading is typically not on the radar of a lot of students, teenagers. I get it. That's been pretty standard no matter what school I've been at or what class, what grade I'm teaching. Even a lot of adults that I know are in the same boat. A lot of them say, I don't have time to read. I don't like reading. Reading is boring, so on and so forth. I will give my best reasons for reading, and also I will give a nice little summary of the most recent book that I read, because it's, I don't know, it took me 5 or 6 hours to read the thing. It's 250 pages. And I realized that realistically, not a lot of people would hear a podcast and then go to their Amazon shopping cart and pay the $18 and read the whole book. So I will give you what I got from that book in about a 5 or 6 minute time frame. So a lot of bang for your buck listening to this podcast. Buckle up. So before we get into my amazing book review, I have to give just a few science-backed benefits of reading. I've got to present my best argument here. I feel like I'm in a losing courtroom, but I'm going to give it my best shot. So, science-backed, remember. Number one, reading might lengthen your lifespan. A 2016 study published in the Journal of Social Science and Medicine found that reading books can reduce mortality by up to 20%. Books also encourage empathy. It helps you to be a more compassionate, empathetic, or sympathetic human. It was surely that way for me when I read Michelle Obama's Becoming, to get that behind-the-scenes, raw, unfiltered view of her experience in the White House really altered me and shifted me in a way that I would have never thought that it would. Very happy to read that book. It lessens your cognitive decline. If you want to stay sharp, some people turn to puzzles, Sudoku. But reading is a very entertaining way to lessen your cognitive decline. It's a way to reduce stress. It will help you fall asleep easier at the end of a day. It can improve your critical thinking skills. Those are sometimes few and far between in this fast-paced, impatient world. Just someone that has the foresight to stand back and say, you know what? Let me think about that a little differently. It promotes self-care by taking the time to read, gain knowledge, take a little moment for yourself. It's all part of the self-care regimen. And it also enhances your vocabulary and your conversation skills. When I was like 13 or 14, I would devour a Goosebumps book. And I would also, my mom reminded me of this when we were on vacation about a month ago. She said, you would shush me. You wouldn't let me talk. I'm reading. So I'm not to that extent anymore, but I still do enjoy books, mostly nonfiction books. And when I get to the end of a nonfiction book, this is just how I approach a book. I'll go to the back and see how many notes and like acknowledgements, basically the last page that I need to read to. It just kind of gives me an idea in my mind like, oh, there's 200 pages. If I read 10 pages for 20 days, the book will be done. If I really like it, I'll probably read it a little faster. But I'm amazed at the back of the book, all those notes and the amount of time authors spend writing a book. It's like 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And the pages and pages of sources and the amount of work that they have to go through, the amount of stress that they're under to write basically a half a decade's worth of their life work. And it's available to you to come to your front door for usually under $20. And the amount of knowledge packed in an average book is just overwhelming to me. The fact that people could just shrug that off and be like, I don't like reading. It just boggles my mind. So I'm always willing to share my book collection. I will post a nice picture of my bookshelf to this podcast so you can be like, ooh, I've always wanted to read that one. And always happy to do a little book swap or even just, hey, borrow this. And when you're done with it, I'll grab it back from you. Love and cherish my books. And one other thing to mention, another little perk is, and I'm really bad about this, I'll spend whatever money I want if it's a book that I really want. Libraries. My friend Nick, he has a library card and actually utilizes it. So it's a free form of entertainment if you have an active library card. They're free to get. And yeah, you just have to read the book in the time allotted, about 3 weeks, return it back. Hey, free entertainment. Better than Netflix. Reading helps you also become a better writer. Wanted to throw that one in there for all you aspiring writers. So back on June 26th, Rich Roll, I've mentioned him once or twice, he had Kelly and Juliet Starrett on his show, and they talked about functional strength, mobility, and just how to maintain your flexibility as you age. It's a couple. And they blew me away, and they just wrote a book. It came out just a few months ago, so they were obviously on the show to promote the book. But I enjoyed the conversation so much. It was like a 2 or 3 hour talk. I got so into it and had to buy the book. Just finished it maybe 3 days ago. So this is going to be my attempt to share my insights from that book in like a consumable way that you can have in the next 5-10 minutes. Before we get into it, if you say, hey, if a Coach Paul Show recommendation for a book is good enough for me, I just want to go buy the thing that's like a stamp as good as an Oprah Winfrey or a Reese Witherspoon. The book is called Built to Move, The 10 Essential Habits to Help You Move Freely and Live Fully by husband and wife combo Kelly and Juliet Starrett. So the book actually has pictures. Yeah, you'll like that. It's nice. And exercises, very practical things that you can do, measurable, repeatable, I would say like diagnostic tests that help you to kind of assess what your current condition or flexibility or fitness is. And if, you know, it meets you where you're at, it says, hey, if you could only do this test for 20 seconds, these are a couple things you could do to help get you to 30 seconds. How you're going to get there. It gives you some mobilization techniques for reducing your stiffness. For me, I have a lot of sometimes, like after a long run especially, your hip flexors just get worn out. So I have some hip mobility issues, I would say. And just doing a couple of their tasks, it really felt like, I think it mentions in the book, it feels like you're wearing a tight pair of jeans, like your legs feel constricted because your hips are making it that way. But if I've been doing this stretching exercise, I shared it with one of the junior cougar runners the other day. He did it, and it really does. It opens up your hip, makes my running form feel more free, even when I'm walking around. I just did it, and it felt like I was 10 years younger, like 5 minutes later. It was remarkable. So the book's chapters are laid out in vital signs. There's 10 vital signs of things like tests that you can do for yourself. And then it sees how you stack up against like what a flexible, you know, person that works at this all the time would do versus someone who is maybe a little less movie, a little more lethargic possibly. So the first vital sign is getting up and down off the floor. I fail at this task tremendously. I can do the first half of it beautifully, and then the second half I still have not managed to figure out. I'll get there if I just do the little exercises the book tells me. But it's just a sit and rise test. All you're supposed to do is cross one foot over the other when you're barefoot, and you're supposed to sit down without using any, like, brace your arm on the floor, your, you know, like, hang on to anything. Just sit down, almost like crisscross applesauce, whatever the kids say these days. And then you are supposed to get up. This is the part I can't do. You're supposed to get up from off the floor without touching the ground, doing anything, just like from your core, kind of like onto your feet. And yeah, it's really tough. I've been trying every single day since I read it and have not yet successfully been able to. So the book suggests that sitting in a chair is not the human's natural way to live. I think that is a more recent invention, the chair, or just sitting in that like kind of chair shape all day long. And they argue it's a breakable habit and you will create a stronger core, back, everything, if you just work in a little bit of like sitting on the ground in various positions throughout the day. It's better for your body. And yeah, that is the sit and rise test. Vital sign number two is about breathing. Breathe Easy is the name of vital sign two. They give you a breath holding test where you're supposed to just inhale in through your nose like normal, blow it all out through your nose, and then you're supposed to pinch your nose shut and see how long you can hold your breath with no breath in your lungs pretty much. So it's just kind of getting you used to that, like, maximize your CO2 tolerance. Like inhaling obviously brings the oxygen into your body and feeds your cells. And then when you exhale, that expels the waste product of that process, the carbon dioxide. So really, this is just getting you used to the uncomfortable CO2 tolerance that you have and how to kind of work your way to longer. Let's say you blow all the breath out your nose, and then you're sitting there for 5 seconds at first. And this book challenges you to eventually, if you're an adult, land in the range of like 30 to 40 seconds. I think 32 was my record, and that took some doing. The first few times I tried, I was like 15, 16 seconds. When you breathe through your diaphragm, many of you have probably heard that diaphragm breathing can be an excellent source of calming yourself down in stressful situations. I find that if you do 2 inhales through the nose and then exhale through the mouth, so it's like a double inhale, like, and then exhale through the mouth, that has actually been proven scientifically to calm you down faster than just about anything. So if you need a little self-regulation tidbit or tip, feel free to take the double inhale, exhale. Any runners out there, if you're running at like an easy pace, whatever you consider like your zone one easy pace, try to do some nose-only breathing, no mouth breathing if you're just at an easy pace. I think you'll find it's very doable and better for you as well. The book Breath or Breathe, I can't remember one of those two, by James Nestor, an absolute amazing book. Just have to throw that in there. All right, the third most important vital sign, according to these authors, is extending your hips, your hip mobilizations. This was the one that just awakened me to like, oh my gosh, my hips were so tight. And by doing these exercises every day, I consider myself a new man. The pictures are great. The exercises are very easy, something you could do on a couch. All you need is like a wall for some of them. Just getting your hips to extend is obviously great for anyone who likes to run or even walk. Just getting your leg to go behind you easier, more free, better will create probably a faster pace for you. And yeah, it's really just an investment in the future of your body by putting more, as the authors say, more glide in your stride. Okay, vital sign 4 is a quick one, an easy one. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm already guessing you're somewhat of an active person or trending that direction. Vital sign 4 is all about walk this way, steps per day inventory, whether you have like a Garmin watch, Apple watch, whatever, just trying to get to that like 12 to 14,000 steps a day type of range. Walking is a very simple thing that you can work into your day-to-day routine, and it has so many benefits. Walking like clears your mind, less stress, better feet, better circulation, better sleep, brain function, you name it. Walking does it. It's proven. Let's get out there and walk. Vital sign number 5. It's all about future-proofing your neck and shoulders. The authors see at the airport people like holding their arms, like raising their arms when they go through that metal detector. And some people like really struggle to even hold their arms up in that position for more than 3 or 4 seconds. So this chapter is all about like shoulder rotation, your shoulder flexion, works on your upper back and your rotator cuffs. Again, all easy things that you can do if you have like a PVC pipe, a broomstick. In my instance, this is a little quirky, but I have a didgeridoo. That's just like a long bamboo stick in my room that I use for one of their tests to kind of see where your shoulder mobility is at. Vital Sign 6 is an action-packed chapter called Eat Like You're Going to Live Forever. I won't go into all the details, but it basically just says like how you should get your day-to-day nutrition with an emphasis on how much protein, especially if you're an active person, plus the 800 grams of fruit and vegetables. If you can hit 800 grams of fruit and veggies a day, you are crushing it. Chapter 7, Vital Sign 7, is very simple to do. We had everyone doing these at our running summer camp this morning. It is titled Squat. Just the squat tests and different squat variations you can do throughout the day. It's one of the best exercises you can do for runners. You heard Dr. Jay Spector say this in last week's episode, but I'll leave it there. Squatting, work it into your day-to-day routine. Vital Sign 8, probably the toughest of the tests in this book that they ask you to do, is called the Old Man Balance Test. What you do is just keep your shoes and socks on the floor in front of you. And with 1 foot down, 1 foot raised behind you, you're supposed to put your shoes and socks on one-footed. I've tried it only a couple times. It is infuriating how many times I need to tap my other toe down just to maintain my balance. But I can tell like how strong it's making my foot, my ankle mobility, all this kind of thing. So I'm trying to work that into my everyday, but it's probably going to be a once or twice a week because it just infuriates me. And the other thing, few of you have told me about this, I've done it with my runners, but it is the stand on one leg, eyes closed test. So you're supposed to, just like it says, try to keep your balance with your eyes closed for up to 20 seconds. If you can get 3 seconds on your first try, I would be very impressed, harder than it sounds. Vital Sign 9 is about creating a movement-rich environment. And I was inspired by this chapter to go into school where I teach at Chattahoochee, take out my old sitting desk and put my standing desk in instead. So I'm just kind of making movement more of a priority when I'm at school. I find that I do sit down a lot when I could just be standing. It's going to be simpler to go into a squat, do a calf raise. I'm just kind of optimizing my environment to move a little bit more when I'm at work. And the final vital sign, I swear my podcast came out before this book, but it is Unleash Your Superpower, Sleep. They almost stole my first podcast title. I cannot believe it. I will not go on about sleep. Already done that. If you'd like to listen to the first ever episode of the Coach Paul Show, that is where you can learn all about how to become a sleeping Jedi. But great book, all in all. That's all 10 vital signs. And if you really want to get the book, like I said, it's called Built to Move, fantastic read. I'm sure you'll fly through it. Like the pictures, it's a quick read. I do want to say where reading kind of like came into my life and really made a profound difference for me. I was sitting at the pool one day, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I was reading The Four Agreements, probably my favorite book, by Don Miguel Ruiz. And I read something. It was some sentence, some like paragraph that really just resonated with me. It changed the course, the trajectory of my life. I know that sounds dramatic, but really, truly got to me on a different level that nothing has ever resonated with me before. And that kind of started my book journey, my kind of like betterment, whether it's through running, through my work, through impacting people. It might be why this podcast is even on today. The Four Agreements, go check that one out. Fantastic book. Here in the next week or two, I hope to have a professional athlete on the podcast as well as a nutritionist. So stay tuned for some action-packed episodes that will hopefully help you live and perform at your best. If you would like to become one of the first ever supporters of the show, obviously the best free way to do that would just to be to leave a rating on either Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to the show. Or starting now, a new feature, you can become an actual financial supporter of the show to offset the costs of hosting this on various platforms. You could support with like as little as $3 a month. There's a link for that in the show notes. So appreciate any and everything. As we close out the summertime, the July months, and head into, for me and a lot of listeners maybe, the school season, just remember not to let your foot off the accelerator. Keep trying, keep striving for better, whatever sport you play, whatever you're doing in your life, whatever, you know, situation you're in. Always try to be the light for yourself, be the light for someone else. Until next week.